الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. First of all, let's hear a good and loud salawat. The goal of man, the purpose of man's creation, the reason why Allah created us is nothing but pleasure in wanting us to enjoy, in wanting us to be pleased and happy. That's why Allah created us. He created us in order that we have fun, that we enjoy, that we seek pleasure. And every goal that Allah has set for mankind is meant for us to reach that pleasure and enjoyment. If Allah wants us to worship and says, I did not create man except that he serves and worships me, then that worship leads to pleasure. That's why Allah made worship, in order that we reach pleasure, that we can enjoy, that we can have fun. If prayer led to pain and depression, Allah wouldn't have told us to pray. Allah wouldn't have given that as an obligation. The reason Allah gave it is so that we can reach lazzat, that we can gain pleasure. If Allah wanted us to become perfect and reach kamal and perfection, then the idea of reaching perfection is in order that we gain pleasure, that we attain greater pleasure. If Allah wants us to go to heaven and spend an eternity in heaven, it's not because He wants us to see, to make us become depressed or sad or gloomy. The idea of Jannah is so that we can experience pleasure. Pleasure is in our nature. We are built to seek pleasure. We are built to enjoy and to seek enjoyment. We are created with a nature of wanting to have fun. If a person doesn't have fun, if he does not enjoy, if he does not feel and experience pleasure in his being or his existence or his life, then that person cannot have a connection with Allah. He does not have a connection with Allah. And if he thinks he has a connection with Allah, it is misguided. People, because of the fact that they think that lazzat or pleasure is a demeaning thing, is something petty, is something low and base, that's why they avoid it, they ignore it, they don't want to speak about it, they regard it as taboo. And where did they get this idea from? Inshallah, I will try to explain that one of these days. Right? But they do have it. Just look around and see. So what do you think of pleasure? Ask any religious person and he would shun the question, and he would actually get offended by you asking such a question. He'll be like, I'm not into that. So when a person does not enjoy, when a person doesn't have fun, then he ends up in a position of sacrificing pleasure, sacrificing the moments in his life where he could have had fun. He did not have it, and he did not enjoy himself. So when he sacrifices that, he ends up in a position of demanding happiness from Allah. Now he turns to Allah and says, Allah, I sacrificed my fun for you, so now you owe me. You owe me. Now he has this feeling of entitlement, that I kept away from all the good things in life, and so now what happened? Allah, now you have to pay me back for that. And for a person, for a servant, for a human being to be in a position of demanding things from Allah is a very horrible position to be in. It is a very ugly position to be in. It's like children who are upset with their parents. The parents want the best for their children. And when the children don't realize that, they get upset with their parents, and the relationship strains. This is how a believer's relationship starts to strain with his Creator. Because he thinks, or he feels, that Allah owes him something. La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah wants us to seek pleasure, and He wants us to reach the height of pleasure. And that height of pleasure is obviously in paradise. When you go to paradise, that's where actual enjoyment is. But here's the mistake in thinking of people. What they think is that, well, enjoyment and reward is in Jannah, so it means in dunya we should not enjoy and we should stay away from having fun and pleasure. This is inaccurate. In fact, it is incorrect. This is incorrect. This is actually un-Islamic. This is wrong to say that here you go through hardships and there you go, you have pleasure. Because this sort of thinking will make us not enjoy the blessings of Allah and what He has given. And then again, turning back to that feeling towards Allah, that Allah, you owe me. This is what happens when we do that. And this is where we want to discuss now. Send the salawats. When Allah made the framework of this creation, when He made the infrastructure of life here, it wasn't such that He said, okay, you know, you do not take pleasure here in order for you to get pleasure there. In fact, He wanted you to take pleasure here so that you can actually gain the pleasure there. A person who doesn't enjoy here really will not be able to enjoy Jannah. This is where it gets a little bit tricky. What? We should enjoy here and then, yeah, of course, yes. You know, you don't enjoy here, you can't enjoy Jannah. In fact, you would be bored there. And you won't be taken there because you're getting bored. Because you don't know how to enjoy. Allah wanted you to go through the training of enjoyment here, so that after you gain the training, then you can, you know, become an expert at that, and then you go there. Right? That was the idea. I'll explain that later, but really, I'm giving you these ideas so you understand how Deen views this, how Allah views this, so we have a correct understanding. Because staying away from fun or enjoyment or anything like that here is detrimental to our spiritual growth. It is harmful to our spiritual growth. Allah did not make it such. How did He make it? Let me now go into a little bit of that. The infrastructure that Allah made here, the framework, how things work over here, is that Allah has given us the ability to have fun and the nature of enjoying. And when He gave us the nature to enjoy and He gave us this ability to have fun, then He cannot stop us from doing it. If He stops us from doing it, that will only lead to frustration. If He gave you a temptation, He needs to fulfill it. He needs to provide the means to fulfill that. For example, Allah gave you desire for, you know, let's say hunger. He gave you hunger. Then, you know, when we are hungry, then it's Allah's job to provide means to fulfill that nature. Now, if He doesn't give food and we stay hungry, how long do you think will go on until we start complaining? How long does a person will go on? He's going to start complaining. Where's the food? You made me like this. I need food. For example, we breathe. We need breathe. How long can you go on without air? And then you see, you start complaining. And you start getting upset. Because it's in my nature. I need it. Just like that is pleasure. If pleasure is there, then you need this pleasure. Yes, dunya and the life here has problems and difficulties. I told you, we have difficulties and sufferings in life. The least of which we know that when we get our bills. Right? You get your bills, you know, okay, life, you know, suffering of life. There you go, you gotta pay bills. And they don't stop. Right? They always come. It's a reminder. Other than all the other problems, right? They all come. But then what happens is this. These are all there in order that we learn how to enjoy, my friends. All of these problems are there. Allah wants us to enjoy these difficulties that He gives and take pleasure from it. Take pleasure from it. Not to get drowned by them. Not to get pulled down by them. Not to be overwhelmed by them. In fact, look at them as a challenge and have fun in dealing with them. That's how Allah wanted this. Let me now revert to hadith so that we can understand it from hadith what I am saying. Send aloud salawats. My friends, you see, a lot of people think that, you know, enjoyment is doing certain things or having certain things. Enjoyment doesn't depend on how more you have or how less you have. That's a character of a person. When you enjoy, then you enjoy whether you have something or you don't have something. If a person doesn't know how to enjoy, he can have as much as he wants, but he's not going to enjoy. Understand this characteristic. When I'm speaking about enjoyment, don't think that, okay, you know what? What Maulana is saying is that let's go and, you know, buy Xbox One and PS4 and, you know, 65-inch TV instead of the 55 we have, you know. No, really, that's not it. Right? Enjoyment means that every moment, every blessing that you're getting, you are taking full advantage of. If you're not taking advantage of the blessings that you have, then what makes you so sure that you will take advantage of the blessings that you don't have? What would you call a child who has a room full of toys to play with, but because he doesn't have that one new one that came out in Toys R Us, and he doesn't have that one particular one, he doesn't want to enjoy the rest of them. You call him what? Spoiled? Very good. There you go. Spoiled. Why can't you enjoy the ones that you already have? No, I don't have that one. What? You see, such a person, even if he gets that one, he will not enjoy it. Because he doesn't know how to enjoy. You see, that's what we are talking about. Do you know how to enjoy? You know, do you know how to have fun? You know, do you know how to take pleasure? You see, this is what's important. We all have it in our nature, but we have suppressed it. When we have something, we don't enjoy it. And when we don't enjoy it, then what happens is that no matter how much we get, we are not going to enjoy. So if you don't enjoy what you have here, the blessings that you have here, then why would Allah give you more blessings so that you don't enjoy more? Understand that. Allah gave you a lot of blessings, you know, we can't count it. But according to Allah, in His view, it is a lot less than what you can get. So now when you have these blessings, if you don't enjoy it, then if Allah gives you all those, you think you're going to enjoy that? You can't, because you're spoiled. You are spoiled. That's why. Allah says, learn to enjoy this. If you enjoy this, then you know what? I can give you an infinite amount of blessings and you'll enjoy each and every one of them. But if you don't enjoy here, the few blessings I gave you that are in your room, and this room full of them, all these blessings I gave you, if you don't enjoy that, then I can bring you the whole Toys R Us in your home and you will enjoy it also. You will be still miserable. That's the reason. If a person doesn't enjoy the blessings in this life, Allah can give you the whole of Jannah and you will not be happy. Because you don't know how to be happy. Even though it's in our nature. It's in our nature to enjoy. It's in our nature to have fun. And yet, we don't. We have everything to have fun with. I'm not talking about having things to have fun. You don't need anything to have fun. Whatever you have are enjoyable. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The second point, my friends, is that in this world, really, the enjoyment that comes from difficulties is far more intense than the enjoyment that comes in ease and comfort. I'll read this hadith and then you have experienced it in your own life. Let me read this. It's from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, وَمَنْ ذَعْقَ طَعْمَ الْبَلَاهِ تحت ستر حفظ الله له تلذذه اكثر من تلذذه بالنعمه. He says that whoever tastes the pleasure of the calamities, the sufferings, or the problems or difficulties that are brought about by Allah on you. You know, Allah, you know, He gives us problems, right? He, you know, throws some curve balls at us just to make it harder for us. He does that sometimes, right? You know, it is there so that He can raise the level of fun that you're having. Yes, to raise the level of fun. You know, Musa, Prophet Musa, when he came back after he went on the mountain after 40 days, he came back and he saw the people worshipping a cow. And obviously he was upset. Now, after he made all the reconciliation and everything was settled down and they threw away the cow and sacrifice was done, he came to talk with Allah. He says, Allah, you know, there's something in my mind that's bothering me. Allah says, what's that? He says, you know what? I understand that they left your worship and worshiped a cow. Even though it's illogical, but I still, you know, I can get it. I can understand that they made a cow out of gold in order to attract the people, to make it glitter. Yes, you know, I can understand that. But the one thing I don't understand is this. That cow was making noises. It was making sounds. Actual sounds, you know. And that was one of the reasons people were like, wow, it's alive. It's alive. It's making sounds. Moo, you know, wow. It is real. It's alive. It has to be God, you know. So what happened is that this sound, I don't know, where did they make that sound from? You know, I mean, I was looking at somebody, and whenever the cow made the sound, somebody was also like looking at him saying, okay, you know what? This is out of my hand now, you know. I didn't put that in there. I didn't do that. Right? Somebody was like a little bit shocked seeing that. So, Ya Allah, that sound, I can't understand where that was coming from. So you know what Allah says? Allah says, oh, that was me. You made the sound? He said, yes, I made the sound. I made the cow make the sound. He said, but why? Because I wanted to raise the level of their test. I want to turn up the heater, you know? Make it a little bit harder for them. Thank you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, so this is what Allah does sometimes. He makes it a little bit difficult for us, right? He throws curveballs at us to make it harder for us in order that life becomes exciting. Life is fun, right? So this happens, you know. I wasn't expecting an accident. Boom, it happened. You know, I wasn't expecting a disease this year. Oops, it happened, you know. Yeah, there you go. So what happens? All of a sudden, I get something that no one gets. You know, and like, how did I get into that? Well, yes, Allah raising the heat on you. So it comes as a difficulty. It comes as a problem. It comes there to trouble us, right? This is how it happens. This is life. We go through it every day. So now, Imam is saying that someone, right, that the pleasure that you get from the difficulties that Allah gives you in hardship, the pleasure that you get in the hardship is much more intense than the pleasure that you get in ease and comfort. Yes. The pleasure that you get in ease and comfort. My friends, understand this very well because we go through it every day in our life. Tell me, you know, we for example, eat 3 meals a day. Right? That excluding the 6 other snacks we have. 3 full meals we eat with these 6 other snacks. Even though it's been told in hadith, you know, 2 meals is enough, you know. Oh, 3 meals, you know. In Hajj, I know this, right? You know, I mean, I try to keep it at 2. People say, you know, but what about lunch, you know? I think, are you kidding? If you make lunch, you won't be able to do Hajj, you know. And that's exactly what happens. They eat 3 times a day, and when they come for Hajj with me, they're holding their knees and their back. Can't even walk. I said, that's the reason. You're eating 3 times a day. That's what happens, right? So what happens is that we eat all this food. Now tell me, when you eat the food, experiment this. When you go and eat the food, when you're having like 3 meals a day, you just ate 3 hours ago and you're eating again, right? Look at yourself and see how much are you enjoying that meal. Look at yourself and ask yourself at that moment, how much am I enjoying this meal? Then, now compare that to what? To let's say that you eat in iftar time after being hungry the whole day. And and this time you're just eating, you know, I don't know, dal. Right? You're eating dal and bread. That's all. You know, you're eating dal and bread at iftar time, right? That's your iftari. You know, the staple food at IEC, you know. That's what you get. So now what happens is that when you eat that at iftar time, so what happens there? When you eat it, you see that dal and bread, look at yourself how much you enjoyed that. After going hungry, when you eat, see how much you enjoy, and eat when you're full and see how much you enjoy. Then tell me which enjoyment is more intense. Which pleasure is more intense? Everything that we do in hardship or difficulties, Imam is saying, is more pleasurable than what you do in ease and comfort. Yes. You know, we sleep a good sleep at night, right? You know, 9 to bed, you know, 6 to rise, and there you go. We have like 9 hours of sleep. Right? And then, you know, we might take a nap in the day also. Now tell me, when you sleep like that and you want to go to sleep, again, how difficult it is for us to sleep, turning left and right, trying to sleep, trying to make ourselves sleep. But then, when you are tired, and I tell this to the Hajis, right, when we go from Arafat to Muzdalifah, now Muzdalifah is the most basic place. Right? Everywhere else you also have a tent, a roof over your head. In Muzdalifah you don't have a roof. You are sleeping under the sky on the dirt, right? And in the midst of everyone. People are like walking over you literally. You're sleeping there. But when you get to Muzdalifah, after, you know, all that walk and all that hardship at Arafat, when you reach Muzdalifah, in the middle of that place where people are literally walking over you and tripping over you, you're sleeping like a log. And when you ask yourself, did you enjoy this sleep? You see, there was a pleasure in that sleep that you don't get when you're oversleeping. That's what happens, my friends. There's Imam is saying that in hardship and difficulties, Allah has hidden pleasure that is more intense than the pleasure that you have in the comfort of this life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. La ilaha illallah. This is how it is, my friends. When we actually look at that, Allah makes us go to this in order that we can enjoy life more intensely. A person needs to learn how to enjoy life. Now let me give an example that the kids can understand, kids can relate to this, right? Once there was an episode in SpongeBob, right? Remember where, it was said that, you know, he lost his laugh box. Right? Yeah, you all remember that, right? Good. Right? He lost his laugh box and he was like, you know, I lost the ability to laugh, you know? I can't have fun anymore. And he was depressed. He was depressed because of that. The idea is that we also have lost the ability to have fun. And when you don't have the ability to have fun, then really, my friends, you are not growing towards Allah. Only the people who can enjoy their existence are growing and are becoming closer to Allah. Those who do not enjoy their existence cannot. You need to have fun in order to do that. Now let me give you the reason so that you understand this and the importance of having fun and understand what that means. Not having things. I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about the ability to enjoy the blessings of Allah. La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. You know, Allah says that we should do shukr. You know what shukr means? Thanks, right? Say thanks. One of the ways or one of the reasons why a human being believes in God is because he wants to do shukr. Be grateful. Giving thanks and appreciating, being grateful to someone who has done good to you is a normal human habit. It's one of the things that makes you human. In fact, it's more basic than that. It's one of the things that makes you an animal. Really, even animals say thank you. Even animals say thank you, right? You know, if you feed an animal, it will say thank you. It will be there in your house every day for more food. That's how it's saying thank you, right? And so, for example, you know, that's what happens, you know. If you help someone, people say thank you. They are thankful for that. One of the reasons, the basic fundamental reason why human beings want to believe in God is the idea of shukr, the idea of gratefulness. Whenever anyone does something good to you, then it's natural for us to say thank you. Not saying thank you is pretty ugly. It's ugly on anyone's character not to say thank you. Really, it really looks bad when someone doesn't say thank you, right? So whenever someone does good to you, what do you say? Yes, kids. All right, good. You're welcome. So, we're saying thank you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. La ilaha illallah. Thank you is a very important thing, my friends. This shukr, the concept of shukr, is a very important thing. It is very fundamental inside of us. But here's the thing. If you are saying thank you to Allah, if you are saying shukr, at least be honest when you say it. If you are not honest, then really, that is not thank you. That is not gratefulness. That is not appreciation. In fact, that is insulting. That is insulting. My friend, understand this concept very well. You, when you say thank you, at least be honest when you are thankful. Don't make your thank you like a shoe salesman at Macy's, you know, thank you. It's not thank you, man. You don't care. You just got the money for it. Right? The fact is that it should be real. It should be honest. How can thank you be honest? What do you mean that it's dishonest? Listen very carefully so you understand this very well. How can thank you be honest? What am I saying? What are you trying to say by that? Well, what I'm saying is this, that when you're saying thank you, it should come from the depth of your heart, and you should be sincere, and you should be actually thanking Allah for everything, okay? How does that happen? By you not being dishonest about it. How can we be dishonest? Here it is, my friends. If you go before Allah, and judge this, I've lived my life, you lived your life, and you go before Allah, and you know that you're going through pain, that you're going through difficulties, you're going through hardships, your life is a mess, and you stand before Allah and says, oh Allah, my life is a mess, I'm miserable, thank you. What? You know, it was better that you didn't say it. It was better that you didn't say it. My friends, really, this is where it all lies. You want to say thank you to Allah, really? Then before the idea of saying thank you, before that first You must enjoy and be happy and take pleasure so much that that thank you that comes out is honest. When Allah says do shukr, it means enjoy. It means have fun, so that when you're saying thank you, you're not lying. You're not lying. Someone who doesn't enjoy is lying to Allah when he's saying thank you. What are you thanking me for? You're miserable. Yeah, but still, you know, I'm afraid if I don't say thank you, you know, you'll do something for me. You know, don't try to lawyer your case, you know, it's a bad case, you know, you're going to lose. Don't do that. That's not the right way of doing things. The idea is that when you say thank you, be honest about it. Really, my friends, let me give an example. Kids, this is for you. Send a salawat. You know, usually what happens is that, you know, when you are busy in your job or your work or your business, you don't remember it's your kid's birthday. Right? And while driving home, you know, all of a sudden your wife calls you and says, remember it's his birthday, you know, and you're like, oops, I forgot, you know. Make sure you bring him a gift. Now, the only thing open is the dollar store, right? So, pull into the dollar store and there you go, you know. And the best thing they have is a automatic machine gun that makes noise and lights up. So, you know, you say, well, this is the best thing that they have. So let me grab that for him and I'll package it in some expensive packaging. So at least, you know, he'll be happy just to see the good packaging there, right? So what happens is that you give that to him, you bring it home and he says, hey son, happy birthday, here you go. Now, when he opens that gift, you know, it's good packaging, so he opens it with all excitement, and what did he see? A no-name automatic machine gun that makes noise and has lighting. And he's like, you know, and he's like, so, what do you say, son? He's like, thanks, Dad. It's the thought that counts. Really? You think he's going to become excited? You think he's going to be happy? No, he's not. He'll be like, what is this? You know? But let's say that you saw his reaction. It's not that big for him, right? Let's say that instead of that, you know, gun that you brought him, right? Instead of that, you had an Xbox One in there. Now tell me, what will be the reaction of this child when he opens that? There you go. See? Kids, they can feel the excitement, right? Like now they can feel it in them. Yeah, Dad, you are the best. You are the best. Thank you so much. I love you. You're the best dad in the world. Right? That's your reaction. Really? Because you're excited about it. Now tell me, my friends. Tell me, really. When Allah gave you the blessing of existence, when Allah gave you the blessing of life, when Allah gave you all the other blessings that go inside of it, tell me what is our reaction to it. Tell me what is our reaction. Allah, thank you, is the thought that counts? Or is it, you are the best? What does that mean? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Tell me, what kind of shukr are we giving? My friends, if a person doesn't enjoy, if a person doesn't have fun with the blessings of Allah, there's no way that he can thank Allah. The secret of shukr is lazzat. If someone doesn't enjoy the blessing of Allah, he is not saying shukr to Allah. He's not doing shukr of Allah. The secret of shukr is, are you having fun or not? Are you happy or not? Are you enjoying or not? That's why it's so important for us to enjoy the blessings that Allah has given us so much, that when we say, Allah, thank you for this, this thankfulness is honest. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Right. Let's say one more salawat. I know. Shall I go on? Are you having fun? Alright, good. Right? So here we go, my friends. Understand this. I'm taking you slowly and slowly. Understand the subject of lazzat and pleasure in Islam. I told you, this is how we build a relationship with Allah. You know? This is how we build a relationship with Allah. You know, one of the most highly offensive acts that we do every day? Very disrespectful act. If I told you, you'll be shocked. Very disrespectful to do this. But we do it every day. We do it every day, you know? One of the most disrespectful acts that anyone can do with Allah is make dua. Yes. Dua is the most disrespectful act with Allah. La ilaha illallah. Allah says, good. He does. Right? He does. Understand? You're asking for something from Allah? Yes, Allah, you know, I'm asking for something. Okay? La ilaha. You know, my friends, really understand this really well. I know that everyone's like, why? We have been given so many duas in that. Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true. But it is very offensive. You know what you're doing? You're asking Allah for something, right? My friends, really, in reality, asking from Allah, really, asking from Allah anything other than Allah is disrespectful. This is the reality of the matter. We have been told that really, you're asking Allah for something else other than Allah? Wow. No, maybe an example will help, right? So you understand what I'm saying, right? You know, I come back from Hajj, you know, after a long trip. My kids, I've been missing them, 3 weeks away from them, and now, you know, finally see them. Come back, and, you know, your child, you know, you love him, you know, you love your child, you've been, you know, everything. He comes in and says, Dad, what do you bring me? What's my gift? So, hey, you love the child, you know, you're like, hey, you know, here's the gift, you know, Zamzam water. Well, you bring something more interesting than that, right? All right. But let's say, you know, that you do bring it, right? You bring the thing, here's your gift, right? You're happy that he asked you, right? You're happy that he asked you. You as a father will love him, no matter what. But tell me, if that child comes to you and you give him a gift and says, Dad, you know, I'm just happy you're back. I missed you so much. Now, would that make you feel better than the gift? You love your child anyway, this way or that way. But if he says, you know what, I just love you. I miss you. I'm so glad you are back. Because you know what? I want to be with you. You see, it's a whole different feeling, right? It's a whole different feeling. My friends, Allah loves us either way. Right? Allah loves us either way. You know, we are His creation. But in our part, to go and ask Allah for something other than Allah. And Allah this, Allah that, you know. This is a very disrespectful act. Disrespectful act, la ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Because what's happening is this. You are, when you say, when you ask for something from Allah, Allah, how about this? Please give me this or give me that, which is fine. But when you ask that, the simple basic question that you are being asked is that, didn't I give you enough already? Didn't I give you enough? So, alright. But why do we make dua then? You know, we are told to make dua. Well, here's the secret, my friend. Dua is a disrespectful act unless one condition is fulfilled before it. What is that? He says, before you ask Allah for something, list out all the things that He has already given you and thank Him for that. Thank Him for that. And when you thank Him for all the things that He has already given you, then dua becomes respectful. Then dua becomes respectful. Really, my friends, when you speak with Allah, dua has adab, it has etiquette. One of the etiquette is that when you're asking Allah for something, make sure that you thank Him for your things before what He has given you. At least list them out. You don't have to list all of them because you can't. Just list whatever you can have and say, Allah, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. And then after doing that, then say, Allah, if you can give me this also. If you can add that thing in there also. You see, now things change. Read the dua of Ahlul Bayt, how they make dua. You will see this. That before they ask Allah for something, first they will thank Him profusely. They will thank Him over and over again until at the end you will see that Allah, if you can please give me this also. La ilaha. You see? This is when dua becomes respectful. So what is it, my friend? The secret of dua is shukr, is thankfulness. So let's do some reverse engineering. Let's go backwards. My friends, you make dua. Dua is your communication with Allah. The secret of dua is shukr, is thankfulness. And the secret of shukr is pleasure and having fun. If you don't have fun in life, if you don't enjoy in life, if you are not happy, then you are not making shukr, nor are you doing dua. Everything is useless now. Everything depends on you. Are you happy or not? Really, are you happy with life? Enjoy life, Allah is saying. Go ahead, enjoy. Have fun. Why? Because then when you say thank you, it will be real. And when you are saying thank you, then your du'as will be real also. Your du'as will be real also. My friends, this is the importance of lazzat in Islam. This is the importance of pleasure and having fun in Islam. When a person learns to do this, then he will be like Subhan. Then he will truly, when he now wants to go ahead, he will be like happy. He'll be really happy, you know. And everything in deen that you have relationship with Allah will start making sense. If a person is miserable, if he is unhappy, if he is not happy, then you know what? He's not saying thank you. He is not doing dua. In fact, everything that happens turns misguided. And he ends up thinking that he is something that he's not. La ilaha illallah. My friends, if you are given a blessing, first thing is to understand that you are blessed. If a person doesn't understand that he is blessed, he will not have it. And unfortunately, here's the thing. Most people do not understand that they are blessed. Most people don't understand that they're blessed. And they're blessed so much, really, that they cannot even begin to understand. You know what most people are like? If they lose one blessing, then that distracts them so much from Allah that they don't want to enjoy any other blessing. It is same like that kid who has that room full of toys, just because he doesn't have that one toy in Toys R Us, he doesn't want to enjoy. It's the same thing with us. You invite me for dinner and you make 10 dishes, which I'm not asking you to, but you do anyway, because the Maulana is coming over, and if he's not happy, you know, then I don't know what will happen. But listen, you know, I have diabetes, so don't worry about it. Alright? So what happened is that, let's say you make 10 dishes, and I don't know, there's beef and chicken and whatever, you know, all these things are lined up in front of me, and one of those dishes falls to the ground. My mistake, falls off the table to the ground. I'm like so upset because that one dish fell to the ground that I don't want to eat anything else now. This is the situation of most people in this world. Allah has given you so many blessings, and then just to try you, He takes one away, and because He takes that one away, I don't want to enjoy anything else. Everything is ruined in my life. My life is messed up and I'm miserable. Why? Because I can't see anymore. I'm blind. What? But you have all these other blessings. La ilaha illallah. Why can't you enjoy that? Is there something wrong with this person who has infinite amount of blessings? Allah takes away one of them, deprives him of one, and he now doesn't want to enjoy himself. My friends, this is how people are. They always look, oh, why did I lose that? Okay, you lost that, but look at all the others you have. And then take full advantage of them. This is our problem. If we are in a blessing, we wouldn't even know that. This is our problem. Start recognizing how blessed we are. La ilaha illallah. Really look at how blessed you are, my friends. You know, if you saw a miracle, would you recognize it? If you saw a miracle, would you recognize it? Good. Let's look at a miracle, you know, like Moses parting the sea was a miracle, right? Do you agree that that was a miracle? It was. He parted the sea, right? I mean, you know, this river that's going by, and he stopped the water, made water stand, made a pathway in the water, and he made the people walk through it. That's, I mean, a miracle, right? Okay, good. Let's say that you walk through the miracle. You walk through the miracle and you see the water on both sides and you see yourself living in a miracle. Would you recognize that as a miracle? Yes, you would. Because those people also recognized it. They looked back, they saw the water, and they say, wow, Moses is a prophet. Right? He has to be. Look at this. What's he doing? Right? He has to be divinely appointed, right? All of that. They all recognize. Now it's another thing, they went there and worshiped an idol after that. So that means that mu'jizah and miracles don't guide you, right? So, you know, don't get that in your mind. But at least you can recognize it when you're in it. If you are sitting in it, would you recognize it? La ilaha illallah. Alright, let's test that. Let's test that, my friend. You agree that Moses parting the sea was a miracle? That if you stood in that miracle and sat in that miracle, you will recognize it. Okay, good. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Has said. Understand this. He has said. In relationship to this miracle of Moses, he said, you know, it's easier to part the sea parting the sea is easier than parting the hearts of people. Opening the hearts of people. He says, opening the sea is much easier. Opening the hearts is much more difficult. Opening the hearts is much more difficult. In other words, if someone can open the hearts, then that is a greater miracle. Imam Sadiq is saying that Moses, if you think Moses did a miracle, then opening the hearts is the miracle of Hussein. Hussein has opened the hearts of humanity. This is a miracle. Did you recognize it? You are sitting in it. You are sitting in it. This is the miracle. This is Moses parting the sea. More than that, don't you see how your heart was opened? This is Hussein's miracle. This is Hussein's miracle. You understand that? He has opened your heart, my friend. He has opened all our hearts. When inside there, now he lives there. Sometimes when we are sitting in a miracle, we don't know it's a miracle. This is it. What else do you want to see? What were you expecting? This is the miracle. This, you coming here and crying for Imam Hussein, this is the miracle. You saying Hussein, Hussein in your life and letting your life be led by Imam Hussein, this is the miracle. You are sitting in a mu'jizah. You are sitting in a mu'jizah, my friends. This is Hussein who has parted your heart, and now you see you can't live without him. This is Imam Hussein. La ilaha illallah. You know, it's another thing, you know, we take the pleasure of mourning for Imam Hussein. We take the pleasure of crying for Imam Hussein. Sometimes we have to say sorry. Hussein, I am sorry. I'm sorry that, you know, I am, you know, taking the pleasure from your mourning while your children are being slapped. While your children are being abused. Can you imagine that, how hard it is for us now? Hussein, it's difficult. It's difficult. Yes, I feel happy when I cry for you because it brings happiness. But at the same time, it's your children who are being slapped in the face. My friends, you know, Sakina was 4 years old. Keep that in mind. Sakina was 4 years old. You know, 4 years old is a very young and tender age. It's an age where children should not be worried about seeing their father hurt or seeing bloodshed. It's an age where children should be only experiencing innocence. You know, we try to protect our children from any scene that will traumatize them, that will hurt them in their life. We try to keep them away from that, you know. But, you know, really, just imagine what Sakina felt when she went and saw Imam Hussein. On Shame Ghariba, imagine what this young girl saw Imam Hussein. You know, one time I was at a funeral, and you know, the people obviously are mu'mineen. Mu'mineen are decent people. It was a funeral of a father who had left behind two daughters. Those daughters were in middle school and high school, that age. And when we were giving the ghusl to the father, and when we were putting on the kafan to the father, the girls wanted to see the father, but the people had the decency to tell them, no, not yet. Not yet, don't see your father right now. not yet, it's not a good thing. They kept them away. After the coffin was put on and we had the father ready and we were going to go and lead the prayer, so we said, okay, let the daughters come inside, and bid farewell to their father. So these two girls who are in middle school, probably the age of 12 to 15, they came inside and we opened the face of the father. They didn't even see the whole body of their father. They just saw the face of the father and they could not hold it back. They broke down crying. Can you just see that? They could not take it. They broke down crying. My friends, Sakina is 4 years old. When she came upon Hussein's body, Hansham-e Ghareeba, what did she go through? What did she see? You know, first of all, it's hard to imagine how she got there, because you know, when you want to recognize someone, you recognize them with their face. You recognize them with their eyes. You see their face and say, that's my father. When Sakina got to Imam Hussein, his head was beheaded. Hussein did not have a head. Sakina came there to his body in this situation. I want you to just see what she saw. I want you to just imagine what she saw. You know, Imam Hussein's body, what condition it was in when it was lying on the ground of Karbala. 34 arrows had pierced his body. 33 spears had gone into his body. 33 swords were struck on his body. Really, it is said that there were 100 wounds of Imam Hussein's body. Ulama said that he was the commentary, the tafsir of the Tasbih of Fatima. 100, you know, wounds on the body. No. You might not understand this clearly. Let me tell you how it happened. There were so many arrows in his body that the people, when they wanted to throw more arrows, it wouldn't go in. There was no space. So you know what they used to do, what they did on Ashura? They would go and take out some arrows to make room for more arrows. They would take out the arrows to make room for more arrows. You know, 33 wounds from spears. You know what a spear is? Let me tell you about weapon. There's a whole art of weapons, my friends. Understand this, how it works. A spear has a pointed end and a broad back. The idea of a spear is to make it pierce the skin and go inside. Now, once it goes inside, the most decent thing to do is to take it out from the other side. Don't take it out from this side. You know why, right? Because once it's easy for a spear to go in. But when you pull it out, then it pierces everything behind it. When the spears were being put, you see, when Ali Akbar was hit with the spear in the back, the spear came out in the front side. That was decent. But with Imam Hussein, when they used to poke him with the spear would go inside. They didn't have the decency to take it out from the other side. They would start pulling on the spear and Imam Hussein's body would be pulled with that spear. It would be pulled with that spear. This is Imam Hussein, what he had gone through Karbala. You know, what can I say, my friend? This is what Sakina saw.
This is what Sakina saw in Shami Ghariba. I want you to just feel her pain when she saw the body of her father. You know, when they came to slaughter Imam Hussein, let me tell you the rules of slaughtering, and you cry for Imam Hussein and you give your condolences to Fatima. Let me just tell you what happened to Imam Hussein on Karbala when they wanted to slaughter. You see, the rules of slaughter is this, that when you want to slaughter an animal, you first give him drink. You know why? Not because he drinks, because the idea is to cut the two front arteries, the two front veins, to get through them. If you drink, then those veins are not dry, the sword or the knife will go through it faster, so there's less pain. When you don't give animal a drink, those veins remain dry and it's more difficult to cut through it, and the animal will feel more pain as the knife goes through. This is the rules of slaughter, my friends. Understand this. And when you slaughter, you can slaughter from the back or you can slaughter from the front. The reason they say slaughter from the front is because when those two veins are cut, then the blood gushes out and the animal doesn't feel pain as you go through the rest of the body. It doesn't feel the pain. If you come from the backside, first of all, it is difficult to go through the spine. That's why they say do not go through there. The animal will feel the pain. And the other thing is that if you go through the back, the veins are still running. The animal will feel the pain until those veins are cut. Until those veins are cut. When they came to slaughter Hussein, they didn't have the decency to go from the front side. They went from the back side. 10 times did they chop his head. 10 times they chopped his head until they got through the bone. When Imam Hussein was slaughtered and lying there in those shower of arrows that he was, Sakina came on Shami Ghariba. She did not see the face of Imam Hussein. She saw the body of Hussein. When Zainab came on Shami Ghariba and asked Sakina, how did you know this was your father? She said, my father was calling me.
سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. يا محمود بحكي محمود، يا الله بحكي علي، يا فاطر السماوات بحكي فاطمة، يا محسن بحكي حسن، يا قديم الأحزان بحكي حسن. والله give us the tawfiq to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand, guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam.